What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt. I will be your host today as we walk through the wide and wonderful world of TNA Impact Wrestling. This is a review of the March 7th show, being recorded the morning of Friday, March 8th. And ding dong, people, the witch is dead. Witch old witch. Oh, it's not actually a witch. It's the Impact Zone. But this audio, it's really meant to be a celebration of the Impact Zone and a celebration of everything it brought us. I mean, creepy Sting fan, farewell. Guy in sunglasses with a Divas t-shirt on that looks like a D-bag, farewell. Unresponsive crowd, farewell. D-bag fans who act like they're awesome and used to call the center of the Impact Zone the pit, farewell. You still got a chance for wrestlers that have never even teased retirement, farewell. This is wrestling chance. Goodbye. This is awesome chance. Only reserved for awesome things, officially. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a beautiful day in wrestling history. This is the end of the Impact Zone. Celebrate, please. Dance around your living rooms or your offices right now as you listen to this. This is an event you don't get to experience every time. This is something that you don't get to feel every day. That elation, that joy that you feel, it comes from knowing that you will never, unless you order the one-night-only pay-per-views, you will never, ever, ever, as Taylor Swift would say, have to watch a show in the Impact Zone again. I'm celebrating. I don't know about you. I'm happy. Maybe if you live in Orlando and You went to the Impact Zone a lot. You know what? No, you don't even send us reports then. We don't like you. That's what we're going with. We dislike you as a person. But let's get into this show. And actually, before we do, I want to run down the .NET member awesomeness that if you're listening on the All Access side, you may be missing out on. You get, as a .NET member, you're listening to a TV show review right now. You get at least three of these a week. Raw, Impact, SmackDown. On top of that, if there's a pay-per-view, boom, you got that. You've got that audio review with Chris Shore and Jason Powell breaking it down. On top of those audio shows, you also have myself and Jake Barnett hosting the .NET Countdown and the flagship of ProWrestling.net, the Big Daddy. You've got the .NET Weekly Show. Jason Powell, Chris Shore, breaking down the news of the week, often with an inside insight and analysis that you're not going to get anywhere else, including just some little pieces of the news or tidbits that you're not going to hear anywhere else. This is really a great show. It's a must-listen for me every week. On top of that, you've also got the Jason Powell Q&A on a weekly basis, taking your questions. Sometimes he'll even check with his sources and companies to answer them and really offer some fun analysis and just a fun time listening to that one. We also have interviews available. We've had a whole lot of interviews in the past, and I do believe we're getting more. Let's hope for that. But we've got Court Bauer. We've got interviews with Court Bauer. He's been with us multiple times. Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett, the Young Bucks, Kevin Steen, Steve Corino. We have, golly, so many, as I scroll down the list. Chris DeJoseph and Chris Roach from the WWE creative team. DG USA's Gabe Sapolsky. We've had Justin Credible, PJ/PJ Polacco. We've had Shane Helms, Jeremiah Riggs. Just really some great interviews that we've had in the past, and always looking to add to that. And, you know, you can rest assured that that will happen. Guys, it's just a great value. We're talking about ProWrestling.net, ad-free access to the site. You already go to the site if you're listening to this. I know that. Ad-free access to the site, access to the .NET Members Forum, a great group of fans to correspond with in there. How much does it cost, you say? You're ready, you're driving down the freeway, but you've got your wallet out, you're trying to bring up PayPal on the cell phone. Well, if you take our annual rate, boom, it drops down to $5.50 a month. It's really a great value as far as being a member of a wrestling website goes. If you say, whoa, 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 whoa there, Willie, I don't want to take that annual rate. I just want to try you out through WrestleMania. You know what? 1 month right now gets you through WrestleMania. That's a great value to me for all of the WrestleMania content that we're going to have. that's just $7.50 to try it out for a month. It really, if you had to pick a month to try out ProWrestling.net membership, this is the one. Get on your computer. Get on your cell phone. Don't crash into that car in front of you. Sign up. Get yourself some ProWrestling.net. Sweet. Well, this show, it was also the go-home for lockdown. TNA, they switched to a quarterly pay-per-view model with Genesis, but Genesis was more the last of the monthly pay-per-views, as I said multiple times. I refuse to judge the way TNA would build a pay-per-view based on Genesis. Now, there's a couple things that I have to say as I look at the way TNA would build a pay-per-view based on this lockdown build. And it almost leads me to say the quarterly pay-per-view system isn't going to be any better for them than the monthly pay-per-view system, because they still did not build a strong pay-per-view. I believe that they spent far too much of the last couple months focusing on a story that lacks any real heat. And I think TNA actually took a huge, huge misstep and took heat away from this major story again. And that is the Aces and Eights story. On top of that, a month of the build to this pay-per-view lacked the TNA champion, Jeff Hardy. It put Bully Ray, his challenger, in an odd situation with Aces and Eights, and he got married and so many things that I really think TNA... There were creative missteps on the road to this pay-per-view. But you look at the matches on the pay-per-view and you say, well, Aces and Eights versus TNA, that's a long time coming. That's a solid build, if nothing else. Kurt Angle versus Wes Briscoe, they started building that way back around Bound for Glory. They started planting the seeds that was going to happen way back when. So I can't really get upset at them for having that match, even though I don't think it's going to be that great. Moving forward, you go, okay, Bully Ray versus Jeff Hardy. It's kind of a situation where you say, what else are you going to do? TNA didn't have a strong heel built up for Jeff Hardy to go against. And I made the argument a little over, a couple months ago, make it Chris Daniels. Put all put the heat on him. Let him, give us a shady ending to that title match with Jeff Hardy. Let Chris Daniels put him out. And then the story becomes Jeff Hardy's quest to come back and face Daniels. He tells Hogan, I want Daniels. And make that your lockdown main event. I know it's not the most star-studded main event. You're not talking about two former WWE stars. You don't have the story of them pioneering the TLC match and all that. But I do think that you end up with a solid heel versus babyface main event where the babyface can get vengeance for some wrong done to him in a steel cage. Sadly, I don't think that's what we're going to see at lockdown. So maybe it's not even worth listening or mentioning it. But let's get into the show. And after I do the standard run-through of the show, I'm going to go back and we're going to preview the pay-per-view, give you my predictions on matches, offer some, little analysis on my side, and then I'm going to, actually get on with my day. So the show opened with a tribute to Paul Bearer, Bill Moody. Very sad story. Jake Barnett and I talked at, for a long time about Paul Bearer on the .NET Countdown show, and a classy move from TNA to open the show with a tribute to him. There's very few guys in the wrestling business that even before they died, you don't believe that anyone would have said a bad anything about them, and William Moody, Paul Bearer, is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. So that is very... It was sad news to hear this week, and TNA did the right thing with the... tribute to him, and there were a couple of other tributes throughout the show that are worth discussing, and again, very very classy to do. We then got a video of the last couple weeks, and Angle was walking around backstage. The recap focused on Angle unmasking the guy, and Angle's walking around backstage, and the question guy, Jason Hervey, the guy behind the camera basically says, hey, who was it? And Angle says, I'm not going to tell you who it was, which is kind of dumb, and says, I've kept this secret for a whole week, and he's going to reveal it tonight. He's pissed off, and it's going to have shockwaves that shake TNA to its core. That was kind of weird. That I kind of wanted to go like, hey, guys, Why didn't Kurt Angle just come out on Twitter, make a tout, put it on Vine? Like, well, why didn't he make a YouTube video where he goes, oh, by the way, Ace is an Eights leader, who did get revealed tonight, and I'm going to refrain from talking about that until the reveal happened, because it was the suck. Austin Aries then made his entrance. Todd Kennelly, Taz, and Mike Tenay opened up the commentary fun town over there. And Aries said he couldn't find his partner again this week. Where the hell's Bobby Roode? Did TNA just agree to give him a couple weeks off? Or was it like an international tour he's on or something? I don't know where Bobby Roode is. I feel like I'm playing Where in the World is Bobby Roode. And Bobby Roode is wearing a red trench coat. And his name is actually Carmen Sandiego. This was Aries saying, you know, he beat Hernandez. And then offered Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray some strong advice. And he said he's going to prove Bully Ray wrong. Because last week Bully Ray said that he would never be champion again. Jeff Hardy said, Austin Aries said, you want to bet? Right now I'm calling out Jeff Hardy. Now, pause, timeout, stop, hammer time. This wasn't like open fight night. One of the fun things that I thought open fight night would do when TNA introduced it was give the wrestlers a form where this is where you call out. This is the unpredictable show. And in order to make this show stand out on the other shows, we're not going to do the call-out gimmick. We're not going to do the, oh, hey, I'm calling you out for a match right now. Because that's an open fight night thing. I thought it would actually lead to a little more discipline in the storytelling, but it didn't. And it hasn't. But he called out Jeff Hardy for a match right now. Before Jeff Hardy could even get in the ring and respond, Austin Aries jumped on top of him, and the bell rang, and we got a non-title match starting. Chris Shore said it really well in his report, where he said, how does it make sense that Jeff Hardy doesn't say a word about the challenge, gets attacked and rolled into the ring, and then that starts the match? Like, what referee sanctions that? Like, if you think about wrestling as a sport with an athletic commission and all that, what athletic commission is like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's totally fine what you're doing there. We love it. Just, you know, one of those strange things that happens in wrestling, and I'd be calling it strange if it happened to WWE too. So, this was one of those things that I thought, this was a special, it's our last night in the Impact Zone situation, because Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries were allowed to have a pretty good match once we came back from commercial. Got about 9 minutes of the match, 8 to 9 minutes of the match on actual TV. And I thought it was a really, it was a strong match. Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries, they have good chemistry in the ring. Todd Kennelly kept putting over, it's Hardy Aries 4! And while I don't mind him doing that, and I even liked it when they promoted Hardy Aries 3 a week out and then made it a big deal, what I didn't so much appreciate was just the way that Todd Kennelly was like, it's Hardy Aries 4! Because it made me wonder if these two then have a match in a couple months on Impact that's just kind of a random throwaway. Oh, it's Hardy Aries 5. Like, are we going to number this so we're at, like, Hardy Aries 17 at lockdown, like, 2015? Is that the deal 2 years from now? Oh, it's Hardy Aries 42. My God, this one's personal. Imagine if they had numbered the Daniels and Styles matches. This is Daniels Styles 106, and this time it means business. Yeah, it's a small nitpick of the commentary. And Todd Kennelly, he's growing, and I don't dislike him as much as I did at one point. This team, though, does not work well together, and I think that's a bigger issue commentary-wise. But this match actually ended with a surprise, and a surprise that I really liked. And that was Matt Morgan coming into the ring, and right as Hardy looked like he was going to win, and hit a carbon footprint on Hardy, just boom, boot to face, to cause a disqualification. After the match, Morgan set Hardy's head against the ring post, and looked like he was going to hit the carbon footprint again when Bully Ray ran out with his chain, which obviously no one in TNA is not afraid of. Like, everyone in TNA, all of the big bad heels, whoa, 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 he's got the chain attached to his wallet. I am not going over there. That tends to be their reaction when Bully Ray breaks out the chain. But that was That was it. Bully Ray saved Jeff Hardy, Matt Morgan backed off, and Ray helped Hardy up. Boom. I like this. We got a Matt Morgan promo a little later in the night as well. So I'll wait to talk about what I think they're doing with Morgan to when I get to that. Hopefully I will remember that. Backstage, Sting gave his crew a pep talk and kind of just went through each guy. You know, Cowboy James Storm, I need you to be the cowboy. Went through each member until he got to Eric Young, and it was basically, Eric, you're the wild card. You're the guy that I picked you. I see something in you, but you've got to come through at lockdown. You've got to show the world just why I picked you, why I see this fire in your eyes. Cool. I really don't mind Eric Young being used in that way. I actually, through this show, became more approving of the choice of Eric Young than I have been. And part of that is later in the show, Eric Young cut a pretty decent promo. Moving on from the Sting pep talk, we had another video talking about Kurt Angle's attack last week, and Angle looked like he was coming towards the ring. So, Now, we got a odd, kind of a cool video, but a little too long, about the history of Kurt Angle, Aces and Eights, and Wes Briscoe. It was probably a 2 to 3 minute video when only one was needed, because the history isn't that complicated. But it was Kurt Angle, the Aces and Eights, and Wes Briscoe in this video. Then we got Aces and Eights music. Wes Briscoe comes out, and if you ever sit there and you're thinking about wrestling and thinking about TNA, and you go, man, that Wes Briscoe guy. I mean, Gerald Briscoe is like WWE royalty. Gerald Briscoe is, you know, he was one of the Stooges and all that, but Gerald Briscoe is such a major player in WWE. He's still one of their head recruiting guys. He's still this kind of force in that company. How did his son get cut from developmental? One, watch Garrett Bischoff versus Wes Briscoe in a gut check match. You'll see that the wrestling ability isn't really up to snuff. Two, listen to this, watch and listen to this promo, because Wes Briscoe's not good. I don't know what else to say there. I don't think that Wes Briscoe is, if he did not have the last name Briscoe, Wes Briscoe would not be booked in any prominent indie promotions in this country. I think maybe he gets an Evolve gig or two as like a filler kind of jobber guy, because they do job matches in Evolve sometimes. Maybe he gets an FC or an NXT tryout at one point. He goes to a seminar and he gets a little look. But I don't think that he gets booked in your Ring of Honors. I don't think he gets booked in your Dragon Gates and your PWGs and, you know, whatever your big local indie is even. Maybe the undercard in the, you know, local indie in an area. But I don't think he gets booked in Chikara. I don't see Wes Briscoe as a bookable talent anywhere. And I watch this promo and I just go, what are you doing? His speech pattern is off. And I know it's funny for me to talk about people with weird speech patterns, because as I'm sure you've noticed listening to me, I don't have a normal speech pattern. You probably assume I'm stoned. I get stoned a lot. I get told that. I've actually never smoked weed, so that's funny. But enough about me. Let's talk about this bad Wes Briscoe promo. He said his father and uncle told him. One thing is, his grammar was terrible. It was like, gosh, I'm trying to remember, but he mixed up like plurals and stuff. It was like Pat Patterson taught him to speak English. He's like, my father and uncle, he told me that the best wrestler in the world was Kurt Angle. Yes, my father and uncle, he told me. Does that mean your father and uncle are one person? Because, Wes, that would explain so much about you, aside from your long, flowing locks of hair, which are beautiful. He basically kind of put over Kurt Angle for a while and said he wanted to learn from him until he had a chance to beat him. Yeah. He then said he would beat Angle to death at lockdown. Neat. And then Kurt Angle made his entrance, and he said a line that I really hated. I'll be honest. He said a line that really bothered me. He went, when you disrespect me, you disrespect the business. can we just stop calling it the business on wrestling TV? Because I don't see wrestling as a business. I don't see DV characters going, man, when you say something bad to Sheldon dear God, that was going to be funny until I forgot the name of the show. That was good. When you say something bad to Sheldon on Big Bang Theory, you don't disrespect me, you disrespect the sitcom business. That's what Kurt Angle saying that is like. I don't think the wrestling business needs promos cut for it. Just like I don't think a promotion should be the lead babyface in a feud. That's something I may get into in a blog here in the future if I ever get around to writing it. But let's talk real quick, or let's get into Angle. Basically, the Aces and Eights come out and attack him, right? Was it just Aces and Eights, or was it Wes? He said he's going to wait until Sunday, or he wasn't going to wait until Sunday. He and Wes started brawling. Agents came out. D'Lo Brown, Pat Kenny, and Al Snow run out and separate him. And this moment wasn't done super well either, and that's kind of an issue with it. So you had the three agents running out, and Al Snow and Pat Kenny are holding back Angle. And then you had D'Lo Brown holding back Wes Briscoe. And Angle's doing this thing, like, he's pointing, and it's supposed to be, you know, knowing what the reveal is, and you watch it, you go, oh, he's pointing at D'Lo, saying, yeah, it's D'Lo, D'Lo's the guy. But if you don't know what the reveal is, you're like, why is he just pointing at Wes right now? But D'Lo ended up letting go of Wes, running up, kicking Angle in the ball parts, and that was then kind of posing as an Aces and Eight, and he beat up what, he and Wes beat up Snow and Pat Kenny. D'Lo took the mic and said, I'm going to spoil your surprise. I am the vice president of Aces and Eights. He did not wobble his head at this point, which I thought was a mistake. Because if there's one thing about D'Lo Brown that I care about, it's the D'Lo head wobble. So let's get to past the commercial break and then talk about this. Backstage, D'Lo Brown was standing around the camera with the rest of Aces and Eights. And he got the gang hyped up to face Sting, and, you know, there was a best of three series to see who would get the man advantage in Lethal Lockdown. And, of course, wrestling history, having taught us most of what we know about wrestling, we knew who was going to win that best of three series, because it doesn't make sense for the babyfaces to have the man advantage in a War Games / Lethal Lockdown style match. Random note. Lethal Lockdown's been around almost as long as War Games. Let your mind be blown by that, people. We're old. So we got a... Basically, it was D'Lo. He did kind of, you know, he did a little head wobble. He used the word recognize in his second promo with Aces and Eights. But let's get into D'Lo as the big reveal here. Aces and Eights reveals. The big Aces and Eights reveals. The big moments that the Aces and Eights have had. D'Von. Heyday was probably 2001. You know, could have had a nice career revival the same way Bully Ray did. I won't say it was impossible, although he is nowhere near the ring shape that Bully Ray is in. That's for sure. D'Von, the first big Aces and Eights reveal. Doc, the former Luke Gallows. Okay. You know, he's a solid younger guy. I can't get that upset about it as far as a guy getting a chance on a national stage. I don't think the reveal was really well done. And going, he's been a henchman for some of the biggest names in our business. You're right. Jesse, of Jesse and Festus fame, huge name. Biscuits and gravy, people. Biscuits and gravy. Mike Knox. Who they actually still are calling Mike Knox? I'm not even sure. They revealed him. And right now, you're like, wow, this feels like D'Von and the SmackDown roster from 2006. Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe, two of the worst rookies in the wrestling business today. Oh, wow, you're getting into a weird place. And then finally, it's time for another big Aces and Eights reveal, and it's... Oh, and Mr. Anderson randomly joining them, but never having a climactic moment where he makes the choice to join them. Okay, Taz, a color commentator, whose best days are behind him, who, you know, hasn't wrestled since, what, 2001? Hasn't really been prominent? Why is you know, and we thought was going to be a good manager slash promo type guy for the group. But he has not cut a single promo since his second week in the group. He's just on commentary. Taz? Okay. And now, finally, this big reveal is D'Lo Brown, former member of the Nation of Domination, most well-known for wearing a chest protector and wobbling his head while shouting, "Y'all better recognize!" I don't understand. I really do not understand what TNA is doing with Aces and Eights, what their goal was. When they said, okay, well, this is the roster of guys that we're going to have in this group, who backstage went, "Man, that's one badass roster. Gia!" Like, who was telling them that instead of going, "Guys, we have a serious issue here because we're building up this major faction. We're promising big reveals. We've got these masked guys running around, but the men that we have prepared to be these masked guys are not the right guys." That's as big of a problem with Aces and Eights as anything else. These are not the right guys for the role. Say what you will, compare it to The Shield. Hell, compare it to Scum and Ring of Honor right now. The thing with The Shield is you see a reason for each of those three guys. The group has not bloated. It has not grown since it debuted in November. It's those three guys. And you see why they're there. Tell me why Garrett Bischoff is a member of Aces and Eights. Explain that to me real quick. Why is Garrett Bischoff a member of Aces and Eights? Huh? Let's talk about D'Lo Brown. D'Lo Brown, I have no doubt that D'Lo is a phenomenal agent. I don't doubt D'Lo's skill as a producer for TNA, as someone that backstage is a nice guy to have around. D'Lo was a solid hand, and I think he was able to get the crowd into his matches. I don't mind D'Lo being there. What I mind is putting D'Lo as an on-air character, promising me that it's going to shape TNA to its very core. And then nothing really happens. Like, where was the core shaking? My core wasn't even shaken, let alone the core of TNA. I'm trying to be fair. I really am. I wanted to give Aces and Eights a chance. I wanted to really... I wanted to like this angle. Like, that's one of the weird things, is I wanted to like this. I wanted to support it. I don't like bashing TNA. I don't like it when bad things happen in wrestling. I like good wrestling. I watch TNA every week. I don't want it to suck. But when these things happen, when these moments occur on television, I get so frustrated, so unbelievably annoyed by it. Because TNA keeps doing stupid things. They keep making poor choices. They keep doing things that just make me shake my head and wonder what the hell they're thinking. D'Lo Brown. Like, of all the people you can pick, of all the great indie wrestlers out there, of all the great, you know, of all the great guys from the past you could try and bring in, D'Lo Brown? I don't know, man. I just don't recognize the point of this. Sorry for that rant. I don't know if the Matt Morgan thing wasn't... I'm using Chris Shore's report as an outline. I don't know if he caught it or not, so I'll just mention it now. I really like what TNA is doing with Matt Morgan. A, he hasn't appeared with Joey Ryan in a while, and nothing against Joey Ryan, but I don't think that Joey Ryan and Morgan really fit together. Matt Morgan came out, kicked the TNA champion in the head, and said, "I'm going to take out, you know, I want to be champ. Basically, I want to be champion. I'm going to take out the people in this company standing in my way. I'm going to make it happen." Matt Morgan looks like a badass. Big, bushy beard. Dude just looks legit right now. And I really feel like Morgan, you know, you build up Morgan. Morgan can be your guy challenging for that TNA championship at Slammiversary. You know, that's where I see him at Slammiversary or at Bound for Glory. Heck, I would actually love, you hold off, you give Morgan a big match at Slammiversary, something major. Even put him up against Sting, you know, give him that match against the Icon, make it a big deal. But with Morgan, then you put him in the Bound for Glory series and let him run undefeated. Matt Morgan wins all of his matches in the Bound for Glory series. Hell, if you don't want to have him win the big ladder match, or, you know, the gimmick matches, if you're still going to do those at that Hardcore Justice style event or that special episode of Impact where you say, "Hey, these are the big matches with 20 on the line." Don't. If you don't want him to win the big battle royal to kick it off, I understand that. But all of his regular matches, you let him win it. You let him go into that tournament into the final tournament as the number one seed. And then you let him win that tournament. And you make Matt Morgan your huge, built-up heel challenger. You make him that guy. And then you choose if he's going to win the title or not at Bound for Glory based on who your champion is, what your plans for the next year are, what you want to do there. But I think that TNA could have something really cool with Matt Morgan. You know, like I said, build him up now to Bound for Glory. That's simple. I don't know that they will do it. I don't blame them if that's not in their long-term plans. Going on, we got D-Von versus Sting. This basically spilled to the floor. A fan hit Sting with a bottle of beer. I'm guessing the fan was revealed to be an aces and eight. D-Von rolled Sting up for the pin. I'm pretty sure it was planned. It was not like, hey, at places like the Impact Zone, any sporting place, if you're selling beer, it's in a plastic bottle. So I'm definitely assuming that was a planned spot with a, you know, they broke into James Storm's supply of like candy glass, of sugar glass to make sure that the bottle would break nice. But Sting did a massive blade job to end the match. D-Von won this one. Of course, D-Von is an ace, is an eight, so he can't go over clean. He's incapable, life-wise. Maybe that's their motto. We're the aces and eights. We never go over clean. I could buy that t-shirt. Can you believe that people are buying aces and eights merch, by the way? Doesn't that just weird you out? Man, wrestling fans are strange. Side note here, because I'm doing a bunch of them. On the PW Torch livecast this week, Dixie Carter stood by her, what she said in front of Congress about wrestling fans, or basically saying, at that time in like 2007, 2008, the wrestling fans that were buying TNA action figures were more the adult collector types. That's who they were targeting because that was the market they could get. And then she said, akin to, you know, have you seen the 40-year-old virgin? It's like that guy. And wrestling fans outraged. And that outrage kind of happened this week too, where she said, yeah, like the guy collecting toys and the 40-year-old virgin. That's what these people are doing. They're collecting toys. And wrestling fans got very upset and said, well, Dixie Carter thinks I'm a 40-year-old virgin. No. If you're buying TNA toys and storing them in your TNA toy room, then maybe you're doing something akin to the character of the 40-year-old virgin. However, if you're just simply watching the product, I don't think she's calling you a 40-year-old virgin. I might, but she's not. But dude, wrestling fans are weird. I think we can all agree on that as wrestling fans, that it's a weird group that likes wrestling. I don't know what got me off on that one. Oh yeah, because people actually buy Aces and Eights merch. Weird. Super weird. Spend your money on .NET membership, folks. Not everyone's a jerk like me. Velvet Sky started to answer the invisual camera, you know, the question guy's thing about being champion again and how good it felt. Gail Kim walked in and said she was surprised Velvet and Taryn hadn't split the title yet since they both screwed her over. Basically just something to hype that the Knockouts title match would be happening this Sunday. Cool. Danny Davis was announced, the guy from OVW was announced to replace Taz, who replaced Ric Flair, if you remember, on the Gut Check judging team. That was weird. Like, that was a really strange moment. And they put over the women, you know, they then talked about both women and how impressed they were with both of them, Ivelisse and Lady Tapa, in case you're wondering. And then they said this was the hardest decision they've had to make to date, and they ended up cutting Ivelisse. She was visibly upset, shook hands and left. Lady Tapa said thank you, and they said, you don't have a contract yet, we'll see you in the ring. I'll talk about the totality of this gut check decision as we move along with the show. I've got a lot to say about it. And that's from someone I do want to note. I actually this week advocated, it was part of the .NET Countdown show, I discussed why I think Lady Tapa is a better fit for the Knockouts division right now than Ivelisse. But that doesn't mean that I like the way the TNA booked this. Mexican America 4.0, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez made their way to the ring with Velvet Sky, and they were going to have themselves a wrestling match during the break. Bad Influence with Gail Kim made their entrance, And this was a preview of two pay-per-view matches, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus Bad Influence versus Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, and Velvet Sky versus Gail Kim. Neither of those are in cages, I don't think. So good for TNA on that front. And basically, the match broke down. The two tag teams ended up brawling on the outside. Gail Kim hit Eat Defeat on Velvet Sky, and Taryn Terrell counted the three count. Taryn Terrell basically just existing in TNA now. Like, I'm totally fine with the female referee gimmick. I am. But it's just funny to me that she's like, you thought she was brought in for a reason, and it's just like, nope, we just wanted to get her boobs on TV. Yeah, backstage, Sting freaked out by hitting a chair with a bat, and he said Joe and Magn... And basically motivated his team again, said, you've got to get it together. Sting just covered in blood during these backstage segments. Like, for the rest of the show, Sting was like, I will not get in the shower. I will bleed. Yeah. Joe and Magnus then argued about whether or not they could trust each other. Then we got an AJ Styles update. So the camera crew found Styles. Styles, like, pushed the camera guy and the interview guy back into his truck and then said, I'm going to be at Impact next Thursday. Then tweeted later, I'm going to be at Impact next Thursday. Now, one thing that I do like is that they hyped something special for that live crowd, the return of AJ Styles. I'll say this, though. I'm just tired of people, like, TNA's go-to story being, well, he took his ball and went home. No, that shouldn't be your go-to. That should be, like, once every couple years you do a story where someone goes home to recharge, but you don't make it your, like, only story. All we're missing is AJ Styles' kid going, Dad, are you ever going to wrestle again? God, I want to see that kid do that. Doc and Garrett Bischoff made their Aces and Eights ring entrance. Samoa Joe and Magnus came out next, and I just kind of did a little happy dance because I love Samoa Joe and Magnus. I do. I thought they were a great tag team early in 2012. Had they stayed together, they probably would have been the best tag team in 2012. I thought their breakup was poorly planned, especially when Magnus gets beat up and put out just a few weeks later, and they end up on the same side of things when Magnus returns. I really thought this was a good spot for Magnus to grow, and that's something that I would still like to see. I would love for this Lethal Lockdown thing to just reinvigorate them as people, and Joe and Magnus are a tag team. Joe and Magnus could have a quality feud with Roode and Aries for sure. I really like Joe and Magnus as a team. So, let's get into this match. It was Samoa Joe and Magnus versus Doc and Garrett Bischoff. Let me see. I don't know. Garrett got a You Can't Wrestle chant from the Impact Zone crowd. Hey, they did something right. Basically, Magnus and Joe ended up hitting their tag team combination on Doc, which I think was a mistake, because if I'm booking this, I go, hey, let's keep Doc strong and let Garrett take the pin, because he sucks anyways. Let Garrett be the sniveling type of heel. Let Doc be the strong type of heel. You know, Samoa Joe and Magnus, so they hit the snapmare, or like the corner kick to snapmare to Magnus elbow drop on Doc. 1, 2, 3. Put Samoa Joe and Magnus back together forever, TNA. I love them. Let them stay together for a couple years. Then we got Lady Tapa heading to the ring. And then we had Kenny King cutting a promo about being X Division champion, wanting to prove he's the best, basically saying it's going to be... He didn't give anyone... He said, whoever they pick to face me on Sunday, I'm going to beat them. I'm going to quickly see if TNA has announced that or if it's just a mystery guy. Let's see. Da-da-da, TNA's website is loading. Hot news, this Sunday, Lockdown from San Antonio, complete card announced. Let's see what this complete card is. X Division Championship, Zema Ion versus Kenny King versus Christian York. Wow, man, it would have sucked to build that up, right? So yeah, that's your X Division Championship match. I don't see a reason that Kenny King wouldn't win this match, actually. I guess that's what I'll go with. Then we got our gut check judging. This included shout-outs from Bruce Pritchard and Al Snow to Paul Bearer, and I absolutely love that. That's classy right there. Oh, wait, we also got a Sing promo. This was, oh, how could I forget? This was actually the good Eric Young promo before the gut check judging. Sting talking to Eric Young and James Storm saying, you've got to win, you know, guys, we've got to get that man advantage. You know, whoever I pick for this next match has to win it. And Young said, Sing, this isn't a joke. I know I'm the funny guy. I know I'm your wild card, but I've got to tell you, this is not a joke. They took something away from me that I loved, that I cared about, and I want to be the guy to go in there and win the man advantage. Sing looked at him and said, you know what, Eric, you're my wild card, but I've got to go with James Storm, the proven commodity here. And Eric Young seemed understanding, and it was actually a cool... I don't know. I liked the segment. This was something that I could like. This is part of the story that I really got behind. Then we got the gut check. And somehow Lady Tapa just got booed out of the building. Like, and in a really good way. Like, they were into chanting for her, not liking her and everything. And in the end, Pritchard said no. Who was it? Danny Davis gave her a yes. Bruce Pritchard gave her a no. Al Snow gave her a yes after her kick-out promo. And here's what I didn't like about this. One, if you're gonna... and I totally agree. Let's bring in Lady Tapa. I think both women should be signed by TNA immediately and bumped up onto the Knockouts roster. Here's the thing, though. I feel like, in a way, they've already overexposed Lady Tapa. Man, I see her and I go, man, we can bring her in as a beast. Build her in the mold of Awesome Kong. And I thought that's how she wrestled last week, was very much someone that could be out of that, you know, cut from the same stone, if you will. So you bring in, you know, you do this gut check. I think you have that exact same match, but you have Lady Tapa break out of the hold, hit a big power move for a finisher, 1, 2, 3, that's it. And it's just, Ibelis did everything she could, she was the plucky upstart, but Lady Tapa was just too dominant. Like, that's the story TNA can tell. Then you do what you did this week, and you have Lady Tapa go on, get chosen, you know, you're going to be the gut check competitor, you are the winner of gut check, boom, big money. Like, I think that's a great way for TNA to promote their women. What they did here was stupid. You're going to lose the match by tapping out, and, you know, then we're going to puzzlingly eliminate Ibelis instead of you, and then we're going to give you the winning gut check after you cut this not-so-great promo, as opposed to being the silent, like, deadly monster. I'm sorry if I'm being too cliche, or if I'm asking for something that's too much out of this, or if I'm just not getting something. But it was an odd way to promote Lady Tapa, because really what you could have done, put Ibelis in there, say, yes, Ibelis getting the contract, and then Lady Tapa runs out and attacks her, hits a big power move. And you have the commentator, yes, it's a little bit like what Joey Ryan did, but you can get over that. You have the commentators going, my God, did you just see what she did? And then you have Ibelis saying, I want my hands on her. Next week, for a couple weeks on Impact, have her cutting promos, you know, win a match or two against, like, Rosita or something. And let Ibelis go, I want to get my hands on Lady Tapa. You saw what she did to me. Bring her back in. Well, we can't do that without giving her a contract. I don't care. Give her a contract, bring her back in, and let me fight her. It's a compelling story. It achieves a goal, and it could be really interesting to watch and actually make people care about a woman's division. And care about women that weren't formerly in WWE. Hey, look what I did! And I know booking wrestling isn't as simple as that. You've got to think about some other things, but I'm throwing stuff out there that I really don't think would be too complicated and would work. Because I don't understand how TNA somehow manages to tell stories the way they do some days. Yeah, it's frustrating as a fan sometimes. Yeah, she won the contract. Our next match was Mr. Anderson versus James Storm. And one thing I really liked was Mike Tenay during this match. He put over the small number of times James Storm and Mr. Anderson have met one-on-one. He mentioned that they've met in tag team encounters in the past, but they haven't fought all that often one-on-one. And I like the way he just said, it's special. What we're getting here is special. Tanay, you know, kind of broke out the professor thing there and did really well with it. I thought that this was a moment that Mike Tenay was really good, and he's really good when he's offering stats like that. The match ended with Aces and Eights coming out to distract Storm. Storm turns around. Mic check from Anderson. 1, 2, 3. Aces and Eights have the main advantage. Easy. Like, super easy. Then we saw Jeff Hardy, Brooke Hogan, and Bully Ray all heading to the ring. Ray and Brooke made their entrance. Hardy made his entrance. And this was basically Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray saying, hey, I like you, but I'm going to beat you. I like you and I respect you, but when we step into that cage, it's man on man, and I'm going to beat you. And that could have ended the show for me easily. But they shook hands, and Hulk Hogan's music hit. Hulk Hogan came out and said, basically said, TNA is going on to greatness. Again, let's just make that promotion the lead babyface. That's cool. I want to cheer for TNA instead of an individual star that I can get behind. That's what I want. I don't care about John Cena, CM Punk, and The Undertaker. I care about WWE. I chant it. WWE. Man, if there is ever... How is it that the major wrestling promotion in the country has a name that is so difficult to chant? What am I supposed to do with my life? But yeah, basically, they're looking for guys that can take them to greatness, and Bully Ray and Jeff Hardy, you can take us to greatness. More empty platitudes from Hulk Hogan, because that's kind of what he does. He said, may the best man win on Sunday. Aces and Eights ran out and attacked Hardy and Ray. The team TNA ran out to make the save. And this was the big brawl leading into lockdown on Sunday. Man, this was a crappy show. Just being real with you here. This was a really bad show. And the thing that was bad about it, I don't have any money on the line in TNA. I don't care about selling pay-per-views. I'm not sitting here going, man, that's so many buys. No. Well, what I care about is telling quality stories and building up to a logical next chapter. And I don't feel like they did that. I don't feel like the stories told on this episode of Impact were compelling. I don't feel like the next chapter is something that I have to see. To say I'm not sold on lockdown is an understatement. I really don't think it's going to be a great show. And this did not give me any reason to think otherwise. It's strange, TNA, where they are at right now. Because on the one hand, I feel like they're making some really smart business moves, going on the road, going live, really, really trying to capture things that they feel like they're missing. But at the same time, creative's taken a lot of steps back. The stories that they're telling are not compelling. Look at Jeff Hardy. He is TNA champion right now, but there is no major heel built up to go against Jeff Hardy. And yes, that might change on Sunday if we get a Bully Ray turn. And I'm fine with it if we get a Bully Ray turn. I am. But, or are they going to go to Matt Morgan? Like, there are heels around. They just aren't built up to the point that they can go against Jeff Hardy. Look at the debacle that has been almost a year of the Aces and Eights. In June, it will be a year. So we're at the 9-month point in the Aces and Eights story. From the night they attack Sting to right now. In 9 months, that story went from, oh, that could be kind of fun, to, what the hell? D'Lo Brown. Like, that is not a compelling story to tell. I don't know who is sitting there going, man, D'Lo joined the Aces and Eights. I've got to see more TNA. It's D'Lo Brown. Maybe the president will be of the club will be a good reveal, but given the way things have turned out, it wouldn't shock me if it's just, oh, it's Eric Bischoff, and he's on a mission to destroy TNA. Yay! TNA's making a lot of mistakes creatively. I think that creative team right now, it's funny, because if you look at last year, from, like, lockdown to Slammiversary, aside from the James Storm situation, I thought that they told some really compelling stories and did some really fun stuff. Aside from James Storm and Claire Lynch, they did some really great stuff. If you look at from Slammiversary to now, I feel like TNA has made a huge amount of storyline mistakes that have really surprised me. And I think their long-term story is just not a good story at this point. And they have great wrestlers, phenomenal talent. They can do great stuff. Hell, they have some really big, talented people on the creative side of things as well. Something is not coming together. it's not working for TNA. And I'm not sitting here trying to bash the product again, or bash what TNA does. I love that TNA exists. I do. I love that there's another wrestling company. I love the wrestlers have jobs. What I don't love is the puzzling things that happen on a weekly basis in TNA. Puzzling things like Wes Briscoe getting 5 minutes of promo time when you know he can't cut a promo. Puzzling things like D-Von or D'Lo Brown somehow being the lead heel in your promotion at this moment. Puzzling things like just the whole gut check segment and the fact that it felt like last week was completely independent from this week instead of telling a cohesive story. TNA is doing some really puzzling things, and I just don't get it. I don't. But let's get into the pay-per-view card. You know, I want to... I'll start at the bottom, work my way to the top. Robbie E versus Robbie T. Heck, I see Robbie T winning this, becoming kind of a big powerhouse mid-card babyface, and I don't know that that's the right role for him because I don't know that he has the wrestling talent to pull it off. Joey Ryan versus Joseph Park. Joseph Park's going to win that. Look surprised while doing so. Joey Ryan will put him over big, but man, how much has Ryan lost? Like, you look at where, and I think part of it was just the wrong pairing with Matt Morgan. The cape-wearing Matt Morgan and the odd Hawaiian-shirted Joey Ryan. But Joey Ryan's really lost something as far as being a being someone that you can get behind. I thought he would have been a solid heel in the X Division or something like that. Speaking of the X Division Championship, Zema Ion versus Kenny King versus Christian York, I think that could be a very good match if these guys get to work the way that we kind of know that they can work. Probably we'll get about 7 to 10 minutes on pay-per-view, and the crowd will get into it. It wouldn't shock me to see this as the opener. I think Kenny King will win it with the Royal Flush on Christian York. Solid. Knockouts Championship, Gail Kim versus Velvet Sky. Oh, and by the way, it would have been cool to tell a story going into that X Division Championship match, but I guess TNA didn't want to do that. Knockouts Championship, Gail Kim versus Velvet Sky. I'll pick Velvet Sky to retain here, and Gail Kim to try her best to actually walk Velvet Sky through a passable match. Yes, I know I sound grumpy. I'm sorry. If you had to watch this show, I'm sure you understand why I'm grumpy. Tag Team Championship, Daniels and Kazarian versus Bobby Roode and Austin Aries versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. You know what? I'm going to pick Daniels and Kazarian to recapture the tag titles here. I know that kind of derails the mission of Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, so it wouldn't shock me to see it happen, but I think the best thing for TNA's tag division right now, just get those belts back on Bad Influence, build up some challengers for them, and actually rebuild your tag team division around a tag team that is committed to being a tag team and will stay a tag team and doesn't mind being a tag team in Daniels and Kazarian, and around acts that the fans really, really get behind hating. Steel Cage match, Wes Briscoe versus Kurt Angle. This match is not, I don't think it's going to be good. I think Kurt Angle is going to do everything he can to make it good, but I don't believe, this is Kurt Angle against a broomstick. Honestly, this is Kurt Angle against a broomstick in jeans and a vest. I don't think that the broomstick has it. Or has it. I don't think Angle will have a good match with Wes Briscoe here. I think they'll try and make it good. There's going to be a lot of blood. And I think Wes Briscoe somehow pulls out the win in this one. Probably through some sort of odd interference, even though it's a cage match. Because that's lockdown. There's not been a lockdown in history without interference in a cage match. It's what TNA does to prove that cages matter. I don't know. Lethal Lockdown cage match. The Aces and Eights, D-Von, Anderson, Doc, Garrett, and Knox versus Team TNA. Promotion is the babyface, Sting, Magnus, Samoa Joe, James Storm, and the wild card, Eric Young. This is a tough one. At one point, TNA made a big deal about not trusting anybody, and it wouldn't shock me to see one of the Team TNA members join Aces and Eights, and maybe it's Eric Young. Maybe they try Eric Young as a heel again after, you know, the World Elite experiment kind of failed. It wouldn't shock me to see Eric Young actually turn heel in this match, lead Team Aces and Eights to a win, and all of us scratch our heads and go, then why did they hit him with a hammer? because it's TNA, guys, and that's what they do. TNA Knockouts champion Eric Young may turn heel. With ODB, who will become the Aces and Eights biker babe. Yeah, and then finally, World Championship cage match, Bully Ray versus Jeff Hardy. This is a tough one to pick. I'll say if the plan is, I think Bully Ray wins with some Aces and Eights interference. And it wouldn't shock me if the idea behind this is Bully Ray wins and he gets help from the Aces and Eights, but he doesn't realize it. And then you come, and a month from now it's revealed that Bully Ray was in on it all along, and there's a big evil laugh, and Bully Ray hugs D-Von, and D-Von says testify with his painted-on evil Hollywood Hogan beard. That's what I'll go with. Bully Ray wins the TNA Championship. And really, that's something. If you're looking for a bright spot in this pay-per-view that I am not looking forward to, it's Bully Ray possibly winning the TNA Championship, because I think no matter what, that's the culmination of a very long journey for him and something that is very much deserved for the turnaround that he's made in his career. Jason Powell's going to be here with live coverage and an audio review of this show on Sunday night. That's going to happen. The audio review will be exclusive to ProWrestling.net members, so you want to make sure to sign up for membership, get yourself that audio, and all that. Let's see. Anything else I need to cover here? Oh, just a quick plug. Personally, for me, my blog series, I'm going to WrestleMania. The Royal Rumble Winner Series starts on Saturday, tomorrow. Make sure you check that out on the website. I love doing these long-form blog series going into WrestleMania, and I'm really happy with how this one is shaping up. So you want to check that out. It's going to be every Saturday from now until WrestleMania. Aside from that, I think that's all I got. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for checking out the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. Please leave us some reviews on iTunes. Download our apps. Do all of that stuff that I know you want to do. And have a great weekend.